What do you think? Because, you know, some that'll bring some new people to the front row. You just don't know. All right, lay a hand on a chair, wherever it is. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the new. We thank you for the change. We thank you for that you've led us to this update, Lord God. And we just pray over these chairs right now. We thank you for the bodies that are going to come here and have a seat right here in this house to hear your word, to receive your presence, Lord God. And I just bless these chairs right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to talk for just a second. Jeremy mentioned this book last week, Activating the Gift of Prophecy. This is written by Jermaine and Rebecca Francis. They're my age, so my generation, wrote a book on how to hear the voice of God. Now, this is super instructional. It's a great introduction. Like if somebody's like, what's the prophetic? I'm like, here, this is exactly how you do it. It's very basic. It's a very easy read. I'd highly recommend it. Just wanted to put that plug in there. A few weeks ago, I shared a message on the culture of community. Now, firstly, after sharing that message, I sat down on the front row of our old beloved pews, and I thought to myself, also known as sensing the Lord saying, that this could be a book. Thought about that. Molded over for a little bit. I talked to a friend from CI down in Florida who helps authors write books. And when Apostle Enos was here, you know, he was doing his little popcorn prophecy. And does anybody remember what he said to me? Write the book. So, Lord, I'll take that confirmation because that was pretty specific. And I want to tell you today that I do plan to write a book about community and its necessity in the body of Christ. And I'm telling you this as my church family because I need your support in prayer. And I also need your accountability. Like, I need you to ask me every now and then, like, hey, how's it going? Have you written this week? Because I'd like to be to finish with the manuscript by late spring next year. So I do better with a little bit of, like, deadlines and people, like, asking me what's going on. So just going to throw that out there. You guys can text me once a week or whatever and ask me how that's going. So in case you weren't here for the message on the culture of community, I'm going to just break it down for you really quick. The highlights are we have a generation that is desperate for belonging. Culture is fluid and it can be directed. So that means as the church, we can set the standard of what community should look like. Jesus was the ultimate example to the church, right? He served, he had compassion, he welcomed those that no one else wanted. He led with grace and sincerity. He followed the guidance of his Father God, and he knew the importance of children. I shared the story of the men that brought the lame man. They were, in a sense, promoting community because they wanted healing for their friend, and they were willing to do whatever it was going to take to get them down through the roof to receive that healing. There are those in our lives that are crippled by circumstances and need to be brought to the feet of Jesus. Now, as the church, you know, we often see people healed and restored and set free, but that's not the end. That's not all that we're called to do. God has called us to be a community that loves and supports one another, that stands with one another, prays for one another. It's 2019. Isolation is easy. Diving in is not. It's way easier to choose the path of least resistance, but there is little growth there. I encourage you to be inviters, to be includers, to be intentional, and to be invigorated about how you create community. Now, of those highlights that I just mentioned, I want to talk about one thing in particular. In fact, just one word, and that is belonging. Now, belong is a verb, it's an action word, and it means to be in the relation to a member, to have the proper qualifications to become a member of a group, or to be properly and appropriately placed or situated. So how do we know where we belong and where we are called to take action? In Psalms 24, in verse 1, it says in the Passion Translation, it says, God claims the world as his. Everything and everyone belongs to him. Okay, there you go. You belong to God. Now, we were created to belong. That's why we have that need inside of us. In Genesis chapter 2, God made man a living being, and he gave him the assignment of tending to the garden and everything in it. So he gave him, told him to name the creatures and do all these things. But then he realized that there was no one comparable to Adam. And so God created Eve so that Adam wasn't alone. Did you hear me? He created so that Adam wasn't alone. How many guys want to say, praise God, that I'm not alone? Okay. Adam and Eve belonged. They were properly placed and situated there in the garden, just as the rest of God's creation. Well, then the serpent came to deceive, and the rest is history. He came to create a disconnection between God and his creation. That's the enemy's ultimate assignment. So this created the sense that they didn't belong where God placed them, naked in the garden, and so then they hid. And so from that time, from the time the serpent entered, there have been people who have felt like they don't belong where God has assigned and created them to be. I'm going to say that one more time. From the time the serpent entered, there have been people who have felt like they don't belong where God assigned and created them to be. And that's an issue because everybody needs to belong. So in the book of Romans, Paul gives us a very simple formula with which to understand the gospel. Our sin added to God's grace and redemption equals justification by faith in his son. So we were born into the world with a sin nature. The remedy for that is God's redemption. Now, if you want to hear more about the importance of redemption, Ina shared a really good word back in August, and you can find that on the website, but it was a really, really good word about redemption. Redemption is freedom from sin, and we ought to live like we're free. In the book of Romans, the last third, Paul shows us the practical ways to live out the gospel. And he wouldn't have said that if it wasn't important, like an important element of every believer's life. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. In the human body, there are many parts and organs, each with a unique function. And so it is in the body of Christ. For though we are many, we have all been mingled into one body of Christ. This means that we are all vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the others. Now, contributing is important, right? There are things that Alice does around here that most of you are not going to be able to do. I can't play the drum like Wynn. I mean, I'd like to, but probably shouldn't. We need his gifts and talents around here because he's a vital part of this body. I want you to look at the person next to you and say, you're vital. The New King James version of the verse 4 is often quoted, right? We hear that a lot. We have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Now, if you dig a little deeper into those verses, the Greek word for member is melos, meaning a member belonging to the whole. Now, the word melos was used in the antiquity of instruments of war and implements or working parts of a ship. Paul used it in relation to the various functions of human personality. So if Paul uses the word, that means one belonging to a whole, and the whole has to be something that is working to get where it is going, then we can interpret that as meaning that without the members, you and I, that the ship isn't going to go anywhere. Consider that. Let me give you an example. So most of you know that for the last 5 years or so, I've driven a very large, very comfortable black van. Okay. Most recently, we left the van at the shop to have the ABS system serviced. Everybody know what ABS means? Anti-lock brake system. Okay. Very important part of any working vehicle, right? But here we are, 5 weeks after it went into the shop, and they are baffled as to why the new part that they put in isn't getting enough power to work. They'll continue to look at the issue if I'd like to give them more money. And my husband said, no, we are not giving them more money. So somewhere behind an auto shop in Benton Harbor is my van that can't drive because the member of the van called the ABS system isn't getting what it needs to make it a working ship. So that kind of made me think about how that's kind of an analogy for the body of Christ now. If those who belong and believers should be meeting together, the Bible encourages us to do so in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. If they aren't tending to themselves in healthy ways, their ability to operate as God intended in the body of Christ will be hindered. I'm going to say it again for you, Wynn. Now, if those who belong aren't tending to themselves in healthy ways, their ability to operate as God intended in the body of Christ will be hindered. So it's 2019. What does this look like today? There's many different ways, right? Loneliness, isolation, there's estrangement in families. All of these are ways that people don't belong or they feel like they don't belong. The enemy's assignment is to make you feel like you don't belong here at church, like you don't belong in your place of work, or even as a member of your very own family. Each generation has had a way of searching for the answer to ease the desperation of the need to belong. In a 2018 survey from the Kaiser Family Foundation, 22% of adults said that they always or often feel lonely, lack companionship, often feel left out or isolated. Other studies also support this data that nearly half of Americans always or sometimes feel alone or left out. 54% of those said they don't feel like people know them very well. Research has been done, and it shows that loneliness has an effect on your physical body and on your health. And of women in the millennial generation, which is ages 23 to 38, 42% of them say that they fear loneliness over a cancer diagnosis. According to these statistics, half the people in this room regularly or sometimes feel alone or left out. Turn to your neighbor and tell them they're not alone. I mean, seriously, think ahead to your holiday gathering this week. It's Thanksgiving. You're going to look around the room with your family and maybe some of your friends. Half of those people sometimes feel alone. Think about that. It's time to be intentional about creating a space wherever you go that will help people feel like they belong. We've established that God created us to belong. This precedent was set from the very beginning of time. In Romans, Paul has told us to find our place in the body of Christ, to be part of a working ship, and glorify God by functioning as part of the body. Research shows us, and I believe that God is leading us into a season to start showing up where you belong and be available to those in that space. The world outside of these four walls is desperate to belong somewhere, and they'll keep searching until they find it. Earlier, I asked two questions. I said, how do we know where we belong? And where are we called into action? So if the definition of belonging is to be properly or appropriately placed or situated, then the answer is to seek God about the places that he has for you to be. So you feel like you're called to be here in this church for this season. You have a job. You may feel called there most days. Some days may be hard. But you should seek God about where he has for you to work, where he has for you to go out to eat, you know, where you have to make connections in your life. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 2 and 3 in the Message, it says, this is God's message. The God who made earth, made it livable and lasting, known everywhere as God. Call to me and I will answer you. I will tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. Simply, we have the ability to ask God and to be shown by him where our place is to belong. And we can also ask him how we make our church a place where people feel welcomed, where they feel a part of the family, because we are an extension of him and an example of his kingdom here on earth. Quite simply, that's what it means to belong. And there is a generation that needs to find their place. You know, that was part of the community is what they're longing for. So when we have things like a Christmas luncheon and we have things like community table, please be inviters, even if you just brought one person with you. Or if you brought all the kids you could find, like that's even fun too. Community table is a all ages welcome. There's no, there's no restriction. So I want you to consider that Friday night in December. Scott has a big house, so we can fit a lot of people in it. So think about that. But I think that as we've seen, even in the last couple of months, you know, we had Family Day, and then we had the chili cook-off and the youth services. These are all great opportunities to invite people that they may like kind of scoff at like regular church, but they might want to be involved in like a special event. So that's how we get them here and get them warmed up and sitting in our new chairs. So I want you to think about that. So let's close in prayer. Okay, let's do it. Bow your head. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you that you've given us pause to think about where we are called to belong and how to make our spaces a place where others feel like they belong. I thank you that you've called us to be one body, working together, each with our own giftings and callings to bring glory to you. You are faithful, and on your firm foundation, we will not be shaken. We trust you with our assignment, knowing that you've called us to reach people for your kingdom, and we thank you for showing us how to do that this week and in the coming months as we seek your kingdom first and as we strive to be the family of God demonstrating the kingdom. I thank you, Lord God, for blessing this church family, Lord God, as they leave here this morning, as they go about their day, they go about their week. If they're traveling, Lord God, we just thank you for your traveling mercies around them as they celebrate holiday with their families, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, for giving them opportunities to help others feel like they belong and to know that you can direct them, Lord God, to where they need to belong. And I just bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we will have 6 o'clock service tonight. We're going to talk more about belonging and what it means like generationally. So have a great day, guys.